All right, before we get into today's episode, if you own a home improvement business, listen closely. You didn't start your company to grind 60 hours a week, chasing leads, stressing over jobs, and barely making money. You started it to win, to build freedom, wealth, and a business that actually works for you. That's exactly what Accelerate Live is all about. On February 10th and 11th, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of Accelerate Live in Clearwater Beach, Florida, and it's going to be our biggest and, dare I say, best event ever. Two full days of real strategies, powerful workshops, and game-changing conversations with the smartest contractors in the country. This isn't theory, it's what's working right now in lead generation, sales, production, hiring, and profitability. Everything you need to grow faster and smarter in 2026. And let me be clear, listening to this podcast is great, but being at Accelerate Live is where the breakthroughs actually happen. Every year, people leave this event with excitement, a clear plan, new connections, and the confidence to take their business to the next level. But here's the deal. We always sell out. Early bird pricing is available right now. And if you're serious about blowing 2026 out of the water, bring your leadership team. Not only do we have a special breakout session just for them, we've got special discounted pricing as well. Trust me, the more aligned you are, the faster things change. Go to accelerateevent.com, grab your tickets, and use promo code podcast26. Do it now. accelerateevent.com, promo code podcast26. Now let's get into today's episode.
There are these levels that companies get stuck at. Sometimes it's hard to bust through the first $1.5 million. Then there's that next level, somewhere around like $5 to $8 million. You hit another ceiling. The next level is somewhere between $10 and $15 million. And sometimes I even watch their profitability drop as their business grows. And the truth is that the business can't outgrow the leaders on your team. They can't. The business can't outgrow the capabilities of the people that work for you. If you really want to grow your business, you have to grow the lid of the people on your team. What I'm going to do is I'm going to help you do that.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you've just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to an episode of The Wealthy Contractor. I'm here with Brian Gottlieb, and you've caught us in the middle of a conversation. And so I thought I would just turn on the recording and we would just go. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you doing? Good to see you again.
Good, how are you?
Good. What I asked Brian was, I said, what are the dates of Accelerate? Because obviously I don't want to miss it.
Yes. Well, you have to be there because you're working.
Correct. February 10th, 11th, and a bonus day on the 12th.
Right. And you're doing the bonus day. You're doing more than I am. You're doing a session with Vince Nardo that I cannot wait for, because I was telling Brian how BG, we call him BG. So you guys will know the difference. BG and Vince Nardo, I watched them do this thing at a board meeting for a company we're involved with together. And it was the coolest, funnest part of the whole meeting, was just watching these two guys essentially build a business. And so I thought, hey, that would be cool to do at Accelerate, because both of these guys built monster businesses. Vince is doing it again. You know, he's going to open 50 locations in a month. And it's really incredible to see how their brains work. But what's even more exciting about it is it's just further proof that this business has formulas. There's a playbook. And if you're trying to reinvent the playbook, you're just going to be banging your head against the wall, not making the kind of money that you need to make, and blah, 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 blah. So that's one thing he's doing. The second thing you're doing is you're doing, which was very, very well received last year, is we're going to pull all the team members, the staff members What we are going to do is have Brian work with them to make them better team members.
Can I share with you why, though? Why it's important?
No. We don't want to know. Well, of course we want to know. Tell us. Okay, does this have anything to do with Beyond the Hammer, your amazing best-selling book that everybody should have a copy of?
Everything has everything to do with Beyond the Hammer. It is the go-to book in this industry. But this is very specific because, you know, what's so frustrating is when you're trying to grow a business and the business feels like it's stuck at a certain level. I mentor a lot of people in this industry, right? And I find that there are these levels that companies get stuck at. They get stuck at, sometimes it's hard to bust through the first $1.5 million. Then there's that next level, somewhere around like $5 to $8 million. You hit another ceiling, right? And then the next level is somewhere between $10 and $15 million. See companies really struggling to get past that. And sometimes I even watch their profitability drop as their business grows. And the truth is that the business can't outgrow the leaders on your team. They can't. The business can't outgrow the capabilities of the people that work for you. If you really want to grow your business, you have to grow the lid of the people on your team. What I'm going to do is I'm going to help you do that. I'm going to help you grow the lid of the people on your team. So we're going to go through a lot of exercises. It'll be very interactive. Anybody that was there last year knows that there'll be a lot of candy in the room too, being tossed all over the place. So we'll have a good time. It'll be fun.
It was fun. I mean, we got such raving reviews on that. So we had to bring it back. So we're doing that. And then you're going to do a bonus day on one of, I think it's probably one of the hardest things for people to do in this business. And that is, how do you forecast?
Not documenting your guessing, but truly forecasting, right? How do you, and what should you forecast around, right? Who should be involved in it? How do you come up with, what are your 2026 and 2027 targets, right? And then how do you bring them to life through the entire organization so that everybody understands their role in it so that you, as the leader of the business, you're truly being a conductor. But it's an art, but it's also a science. And you'll see a little of it. Vince and I are going to get into a little of that on stage, but then we're going to get deep into the weeds. And I'll give you some of my favorite tools that I've always used in my business to help you forecast. And it'll be a game changer.
Yeah. Love it. So that's cool. So Accelerate Live is happening February 10th and 11th, bonus day on the 12th. Every owner should want to be there with
Correct.
Brian.
Yeah.
I don't
Great
care
conference.
What size your business is. You got to be there. Add on the bonus day with Brian, with BG. Look, I was going to say, I don't want to make your head any bigger than it already is, but this is one of the smartest guys in the business. You want to learn from anybody, this is the guy to learn from. When I have questions about the business, you know, he's one of my first phone calls. So you get the opportunity to spend a day with him, and it'll be like nothing you've ever done before.
It'll be a very intimate setting too, because we're not going to have 300 people in it.
Yeah, it's not going to be 300 people. Yeah.
Right. We want a very close group of people that we can work intensely with, and it'll be great. Now, I will share something with you for anybody watching this. I appreciate you, Brian. I'm going to tell you why. We've had how many meetings that I've sat in that as you're trying to figure out the content you want to deliver at Accelerate in February, really agonizing and challenging. And how can we bring the right content to the right audience to the right way? I just really love the preparation that you and your team put into this. I love the speakers that are coming. I love the content. I think it's going to be your best Accelerate yet. I'm excited for it. Yeah. I'm excited.
We're working hard. We're working hard.
Yeah.
So, go to, if you want to, secure your seat, I recommend you do. Where I was telling Brian, we're way ahead of a plan. I think we're going to sell out sooner than we usually do. And so, grab your seat, accelerateevent.com. I believe the coupon code, if you want to save a little bit more money, is podcast 26.
And sign up for the bonus day. Sign up for the bonus day.
For sure. They have to.
Yeah.
Got to be there. If you're an owner, you got to be there.
Yeah.
Okay. So we did our big pitch for Accelerate. So what else is going on? What else is happening? What are you hearing out in the industry? We're recording this in December. It's going to probably go out in January. So what are you hearing? What are you...
depends on who I speak with. I think there are two groups of people. I think some people are very bullish. They're very, very mm-hmm. bullish, and they're trying to grow like crazy. And there's a whole nother audience that's saying, gosh, man, I can't generate the leads I need to generate. I've got so many sources going now that I'm confused on when I should turn them up and when I should turn them down. There's so much, the bigger the business gets, the more numbers you have to look at. But then yeah. it's one thing to see the numbers. It's another thing to react to the numbers. And what do you do about them? Right. And, you know, it's okay to be wrong. Don't be wrong for long. But also sometimes you can turn off a lead source too quickly. And that's a problem too. And how do you find that right balance? That's what I see people really struggling with. It's really here's what I don't hear so much. Well, we can't find good workers. I mean, I think labor is always an issue, but I think people have normalized that. I think that the new thing is people are scared about lead generation, quite frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we're going to have the three of the best in the industry on a panel talking about that subject again to bring back Accelerate, because it's such a big topic. Remember, you know, at Accelerate 21, 22, and I want to say even 23, we hardly talked about leads at all, because leads weren't the problem. The problem was we have so much business, we don't have the right people, and we're not making money. I mean, those were like the big things. And those were the topics we focused on. But now lead gen is back. It's all we used to. I mean, we used to spend half our time at all these events talking about leads, 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 leads. And it's back again. We got to go back, because that's what this business is all about.
And you'll have some good lead providers also at the conference too.
Absolutely.
Vendors that people can work with, like you always do. Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. I think Vince and I think that's a part of the conversation we're going to have, is like, what at different levels of a business, what is the suggested marketing mix in a business? Should I be only doing canvassing? Should I only be doing, you know, when do you add television? I mean, all of these questions. And I think those are some of the questions people have, because look, if I'm in a market and I'm doing, I don't know, $5 million a year, and I want to spend $3,000 a month on television, is that a good idea? The answer is, it depends. It depends on how well you can buy it. And sometimes if you're not the dominant force on television, all you're really doing is building somebody else's brand. But then along with that, how do you differentiate your business beyond 50% off installation, buy one, get one free, all this nonsense and it's almost like a competition of promotions. And you know, while at the same time, none of us try to be the cheapest. And yet what do? We tend to attract customers that are discount sensitive. So I think it's really about revisiting, you know, who you are as a company, and how do you want to go to market, and what do you really need to speak about as a way to differentiate yourself?
Yeah. Love it.
All important things. Hey, by the way, it was good seeing you a couple of weeks ago out in Vegas. It was great seeing you. Always lovely seeing your wife. Really, really excited for this conference. And, you know, I had asked a question a couple of weeks ago, and I think I even asked it at your conference about, you know, I asked everybody in your audience, how many of you need to do a better job documenting your systems and processes? And everybody's hand went up in the air, and everybody needs to do a better job with that. But can I share with you that I want to be bold. I want to tell you that I think that systems and processes are totally overrated.
I was going to recommend somebody that could help them with systems and processes, but go.
I think they are highly overrated. I think that the most important thing a company needs are business disciplines. Because a system and a process, that changes. It changes. You outgrow them very quickly, you know, and so by the time you plug it in, sometimes it's already over. But there's a clock to a system and a process. But a discipline is timeless inside of an organization. And when we think about like disciplines, I think about like, you know, my favorite one is the lead is sacred. But maybe another discipline is, hey, we close out our month by the 10th of the month every single month, or we always do a full presentation every single time, or we get paid in full at completion every time we're done with a project. I think an organization should focus more on the disciplines and less on the systems and processes. They'll come around. But if you don't have a good discipline, if you don't know what your disciplines are, how do you even come up with the right system and process? It feels like such an overwhelming task.
That's a really, really good point. Yeah, really good point. What are some of those? I mean, you just rattled some of those disciplines off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, look, the truth is, and I think that if you were to ask, I bet if you were to ask Vince Nardo and probably Scott Berman and myself, we would tell you that for a long time, we did not have systems and processes well documented. And yet, despite that, we continued to grow. So I don't think that should be the thing that holds you back from growth. Like when we think about a business discipline, I think you have to think about it by department. Like what do we absolutely need to be excellent at? What does winning look like? You know, when I think about the lead is sacred, you know, one discipline we had in our business, okay, was that we had, this is before it was cool to say speed to lead. Okay. To be clear. Okay. This is before it was cool to say that. And it was before we had the technology that allowed us to succeed at it. We had in our call center, which was a tiny little call center, only had like four chairs in it, a little tiny room where we answered the phone. We called their call center. But anyway, our leads came from, were emailed to us, right? So I had somebody hook up an alarm to this special email account. So every time an email came in, the computer would go whoop, 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 whoop. And somebody knew, oh, go over there, pull up the lead. But so the discipline was, you know, speed to lead was important. Did we have a great system and process to deliver it? No, we ended up getting better and better at it, because if that is a discipline, then we always have to ask ourselves, how can we improve upon that discipline? How could we be faithful to that discipline? How could we be more faithful to that discipline? And anyway, I think it's something that it's very approachable for any business owner to think about. Like, you know, in your sales team, you know, or, you know, what must you be excellent at, period? Above everything else, beyond the script, you know, beyond all that stuff, beyond offering financing, what do you need to be excellent at? What are your disciplines? And how can you teach your team that? And then from that, build your systems.
Love it.
I think it creates alignment. You know, I think when everybody in the organization knows the different business disciplines, that's the first step to an aligned team. You know, when we talked a moment ago about where these different companies hit different ceilings and they struggle, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to internal communication inside of the organization. Actually, it's internal and external, right? And what happens in business when you don't have clear disciplines and you don't have alignment, I think you end up with competing priorities inside of a company. By example, well, look, Brian, you and I both know, whether you want to or not, you have competing priorities. You have salespeople that get paid straight commission for selling something, and then you have an installation team that gets paid based on getting something actually completed and making the customer happy. And sometimes those things don't always live in harmony with each other and can create different communication challenges internally. But I think that is probably one of the big, what do you see out there? I mean, when I say to you that lid that happens,
I'm seeing the same things. It's almost like I hate to say it, but it's almost like kind of like what's been happening economically in the country is that, for lack of a better way of saying, the rich are getting richer, the middle class is getting squeezed, and the poor are the ones that are, you know, really getting the brunt of it. And it's the same thing in this business. It's almost like the middle class, the companies that, you know, they're out there, they're making a living for their families, they're having a really tough time because they don't have the disciplines in place. They don't have the systems in place. They don't know what the playbook is, and they're not profitable enough to finance everything that they need to finance. And then you've got the other side of it is you've got people like, you know, Kyle that I just interviewed that went from 5 million to 15 million. That's on his way to 50 million.
Right. Right.
And he's making boatloads of money. Well, why? How is he doing it? And the other person in the same market selling the same thing is struggling and barely making ends meet. What's the difference? What, you know, and it's these principles, it's the fundamentals, but more importantly, the disciplines inside of the company.
Right. Yeah. That you can hold people accountable to. It's called a K-shaped recovery is what it's called. So you have a U-shaped recovery where, mm-hmm. you know, things are good, then things get bad, and then things get good again. In a K-shaped recovery, you have two distinct paths where there's a group of people that are excelling really well and another group that are declining. And that's kind of, a good way to summarize how the industry is right now, that there's a fair group of people really struggling.
And I think Brian would agree with me that if you are on the wrong side of that, the only thing it takes for you to get flipped to the other side is to make a decision in your head that, wait a minute, this is not the way I'm going to go. Right. I need to go the other way, and I need to go find the right information, the right playbooks, the right people, the right mentors, the right groups to be in. Because when you were in, when you started your business with 2000 and what was it?
2009.
Okay. So that's when we started G4 Marketing at the same time. Scott Berman started in 2009. Also interesting. We didn't have all of this. We didn't have podcasts. We didn't have all of this stuff on YouTube. The playbook wasn't out there. And so there was a concentration of some people at the top. And if you even go back and you look at the top 500 list, even from before COVID, the list was so different than it is today.
Very much so.
So different. And it's part of the reason I think that there are so many more companies that are excelling is because of stuff like this, because of you and you being on podcasts, you being on stages, you writing Beyond the Hammer, you coming to Accelerate and sharing with people, hey, wait a minute, look, I'm not perfect, but here's what I figured out in this business. And it worked. And it worked because I followed what came before me, but here's how I improved upon it. For the new age.
Correct.
Here are the changes that I made. Here's the sophistication that I added to the business. There was KPIs. Of course, there was always KPIs in a business. But the way that we look at business now versus how we were looking at it back then, it's much more layered, I think. There's more to it there. And I think that's because there's just so much more information available out there. There's really no excuse for anybody to not be doing well other than what they're thinking in their heads and what they believe about themselves and the world around them. I'm convinced of that from what I've seen.
I think what happens also, and look, I've been guilty of it. I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of the idea that, look, when the business, and I've said this before, when the business was doing $3, $4, $5, $6, $7 million and I'm running that business, I had no idea what I was doing. I never ran a $7 million business when it was seven. And I sure never ran a $150 million business when it was that. And you know, it's very easy for imposter syndrome to set in. And when that happens, the first thing we have to do is we have to kill that voice in our head, because there's nothing productive that comes from that. But we also have to recognize, we have to normalize the idea that it's okay to not have all the answers, because the truth is there's so much information out there. There are so many resources. You come to Accelerate, you're going to have so many great speakers on there that have been there, done that. It's not like we all had this straight, easy ride up. It was a choppy ride. We've made a lot of mistakes. I did some really dumb stuff, man. I really did. I opened locations before I was ready. I've hired people I should have never even talked to. I've terminated people that I should have kept on board. I mean, look, it's so there are lessons in all of that. And the difference is, I remember when it was, I think it was 2010. I remember taking my production manager into our warehouse, and I said to him, I had this grand vision of, you know what I want to do? We should build like a $10 million home improvement company, because we'd be a whale. Because back then that was like a whale.
Oh yeah, that was big. Yeah.
And today it's like, well, I mean, there's still a big business. Okay. But now there's so many more companies doing 50, 100, 200, 300, 500, $800 million. It's just really spectacular. And yet the good thing about this industry continues to be we're sharing industry. We care about each other. We're trying to help.
Yeah. And the one thing too, that I think that's changed a lot is people are understanding now that it's okay to make a profit. And I would like to think that I had a little tiny something to do with it, because I've talked about it on this podcast since day one.
For sure.
Because you can't build a business without being profitable for so many reasons. And I see one of the real killers of profitability is a lack of clarity. You know, you and Kathy are big into manifestation and all of that, right? In fact, you know, his wife, by the way, you go to Amazon and go to Kat Gottlieb, K-A-T Gottlieb, and go and get her books. They are fantastic books on manifestation and the law of attraction. She's a big student of it. And what happens is that you have a $4 or $5 million business. You're not making a whole lot of money, but you're making a living. You're making a good living.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
you say, well, I'm going to grow. I want to get to 10 million. Okay. This is my favorite. You know how many times I ask people, what do you want? And they say, I want a $10 million business. My next question is always why? And their answer, for the most part, it's only, I'll tell you, probably only two times this has happened where somebody's actually given me a good answer. And usually what happens is, I want 10 million. Well, why do you want 10 million? Well, because of the bullshit. It's like nothing.
Right, right.
It's like, it's just a nice number. And if I get that big, well, I'm finally going to start making money. Well, I hate to break it to you, but if you couldn't make money at 3 million, you ain't making money at 5. You can't make money at 5. You're not making money at 10. And so what happens is, yeah, they might be making, I don't know, 150, 200 grand. And then they build the business and they grow their revenue, but the profit doesn't follow. And they don't understand the levers they need to pull in order to make it more profitable. But even, I think even worse, they haven't prepared themselves mentally to become the leader of that type of organization. They haven't prepared themselves. Look, if you're going to do $6 million or more per year in this business, you're going to make $1 million a year. That's a shitload of money as income for a year. But if you can't wrap your head around the idea that I'm going to make $1 million a year and I'm going to have to think about tax strategy, I'm going to have to think about hiring a financial advisor, and I'm going to have to really be prepared to be rich, you're just going to stay at that. Regardless of how much your revenue grows, your income is not going to grow much past it. Then what happens is, and you've seen this, is when you don't have enough profit, you cannot make a mistake. Profit helps you. Those mistakes that you made, you were only able to afford those mistakes because, not because you went into debt, was because your business could fund those mistakes out of the profit. You didn't like it. You weren't happy about it, but it wasn't catastrophic.
But I think the other piece of it, though, and it's a very important piece, is that if it's okay to make a profit, if we're saying right now, it's okay to make a profit, you deserve to make a profit. Good. Okay. Then don't hide your profit from your team. In other words, be transparent with your financials. And I think this is so important because when I think back on the days of my business,
most of us are afraid of that. Now, I've changed that since by listening to you. I've changed that this year. But up until this year, I didn't think they needed to know what was profitable. And so I'm sorry to interrupt you, but go on, because this is an important point.
It's a very important point because look, as the owner of the business, if I own the responsibility of the P&L, I'm going to make certain decisions inside of the business that are important decisions for the business, right? By sharing the P&L and various people on the team having a certain responsibility of one sector of that P&L and being compensated around one sector of that P&L, it should affect their compensation. But then they also understand why some of the decisions are being made and then become a co-producer on actually executing on the decisions that need to get made and the changes that need to happen. Otherwise, people can be very disconnected to the true reason for the decisions that are being made. And that's just not healthy for the business. Look, it's not just healthy. It's good business to be profitable. It's bad business not to be.
It's irresponsible.
Correct. And it helps your team understand what decisions affect the profitability of the organization, the overall health of the company. There's nothing wrong with being transparent. I'm not saying that you have to share it with the person that's doing canvassing, you know, around a neighborhood, but ultimately, you know, I think that it shouldn't just stay with the CEO only because that becomes problematic.
Well, leadership needs to understand their part in it. And they need to understand, okay, you're responsible for this part of the P&L. Your department is responsible for this part of the P&L. And so we're going to share that with you. And we're going to ask you, if you weren't where, you know, the budget came in or the forecast came in, why? and what needs to happen in order for us to correct that. I see, like, I spoke with somebody yesterday, that nice guy, got a nice little business, has no idea where he's at financially, doing $2 million a year, has no idea where he's at financially, because his bookkeeper doesn't understand our business. His accountant certainly doesn't understand the business. He doesn't, they don't know what accrual accounting is. And so you ask him, you know, well, what do you want? Is, well, I need a P&L that's accurate. Okay, well, great. But they don't know what that looks like. They don't know how to create it. And so we talk to them about it needs to look like this. And through Profit Masters, we're going to help them, you know, put that together. But, and this was another guy that's, you know, well, what do you want to do? Tell me what you want for your business. Well, I want to do 10 million. Well, why do you want to do 10 million? I don't know. Well, how much money do you want to make? 400,000 a year. 400? I said, you don't need a $10 million business to make $400,000 a year. You need like a really well-run $3 million business and you can make more than $400,000 a year. But people don't understand those dynamics and how they all, you know, work with each other.
I also think a lot of people, they don't necessarily know how to read a P&L or react to it and look at it properly, but also they don't look at their balance sheet enough. And a balance sheet, you know, tells the true story of an organization and the true cash position of a business. In fact, if I can, there's a little formula that I used to use every single month.
Do you want to share that formula? Because that's an amazing formula.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, you have to be on accrual accounting or this formula doesn't exist. Okay. And just to be clear, accrual accounting means that when you get a deposit from a customer, that does not go on your P&L. Okay. It doesn't belong there. Okay. It belongs on your balance sheet and it's a liability on your balance sheet. Okay. That's where it belongs. When you pay a commission, the first half of a commission, that doesn't belong on your P&L. That belongs on your balance sheet. That's an asset. It's a prepaid commission. When you get inventory that comes in for a job, that belongs on your balance sheet. You don't recognize revenue and the expenses associated with that revenue until the job is done. And then everything gets squared up on the P&L. So when you're running a true accrual basis, a financial model, I can always tell whenever I mentor somebody, I always say, the first thing I ask them is send me your balance sheet. I want to take a look at it. It's the first thing I want to look at. Okay. And I do a mathematical equation and still do it with companies that I sit on the board with is we look at the cash on hand, right? Plus any job specific inventory. Okay. Plus any collectible accounts receivable, plus prepaid commissions against customer deposits. If I look at that equation properly, I will tell the cash health of my business. It's almost impossible for me to take a distribution out of the business until I run that math, because I don't know if I'm living off of customer deposits or not. The P&L only tells half the story. The balance sheet tells the story of the cash health of the organization.
And I want to make sure to the listener, two things. One, you'll notice that he said cash on hand versus customer deposits. Customer deposits is not cash on hand. And a lot of people treat it as if it is, and it gets them in trouble.
You know, I've seen it over and over again, and you have too.
Me too.
You know, yeah, I've seen it over and over again. And, you know, especially when look, if you're running 20-30% net profit, you know, you're probably, you know, month after month, but when business starts to get in a crunch and you're afraid you're going to run out of cash, you go to your balance sheet because you can make great decisions off of your balance sheet.
And by the way, I will say this. Once you understand the concept of accrual accounting, it's actually pretty simple.
It is.
It sounds complicated because you have to use the balance sheet, but it's actually not that difficult to understand. And boy, once you get on accrual and you see the actual numbers of your business, wow, it makes all the difference in the world, because now you can make like real decisions for your business and you could start to make real profits.
Here's the other piece. If you're putting your deposits on your P&L, That means at the end of the year, you're paying taxes on your deposits, okay? And you don't need to pay taxes on your deposits because you haven't done any work yet. That belongs on your balance sheet. You don't have to pay taxes on it. So it also gives you a very false sense of security. It makes your material percentage look lower. It makes your labor percentage look lower because I have all this money from deposits where I don't have any costs of, you know, to offset that. So it gives you a false sense of security. A full sense of security in your business. Very, very important. If you do nothing else in 2026, do that.
Yeah. At the end of last year, we saved two or three clients six figures in taxes because of that exact thing. It's like, you know, you have the wrong things in the wrong bucket. Now you're paying taxes on something that's a liability to you. How does that make any sense?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. By the way, I got one more thing. I want to congratulate you on you've done such a great job with your mastermind group, your Success Society. You know, I've chatted with so many people that are part of it, and it's so cool to see how they've grown their business and healthy. It's just very exciting, man. Congratulations. Thanks for making such a difference in this industry. I really appreciate you, man.
Well, yeah. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. So everybody get to accelerate. If you've never met Brian or ever heard him speak live and in person, you're in for a treat. And I don't know, go to accelerateevent.com, get your ticket. By the way, for those of you that are on the fence, if you're afraid of leaving your office for 2 or 3 days, that's even more reason for you to be there. That's why you have to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're afraid of spending the money, that's even more reason for you to be there. And here's my guarantee, and I've had this since day one, okay? Day one that we've done Accelerate, which, by the way, this is our 10th one, so we're super excited. But come to the event. If at the end of day one, you don't think that you're getting your money's worth or you're getting your value, not only are we going to give you your ticket money back, we're going to give you $1,000 in cash to cover your travel and your time and your expenses. So that's the best I can do. And so be there. All right, my friend.
Love it. Thanks, Brian.
Good seeing you soon.
Look forward to seeing everybody in Florida. Thanks.
Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.